Welcome, everybody. It's Mark Steiner right here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Now, Leah Gilmore is back in the house. She's been absent a while, at least from this show.
My goodness, I've been crying about it.
Of course, activist, world-renowned blues and gospel jazz singer. Right. Center for Emerging Media's cultural editor, as we like to say.
Oh, yes, I'd love to say that. We haven't done that in a while.
We haven't done that for a while, but good to have you in the studio.
Yeah.
And she's bringing with her Annie Patterson and Peter Blood, who are co-creators of the Rising Up Songbook and have been involved in social change and music and folk groups and jazz for a long time. And we'll talk all about that. And Annie Patterson, Peter Blood, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. These people are unbelievable. They are so revered in our world, you know, and to very deservedly so. For anyone who is a part of the folk singing world and beyond, group singing world, the Rise Up Singing is called the Blue Bible. Sorry if that offends anyone, but that's what we call it. Hey, my husband's a pastor, and I'm called Blue Bible, okay? All right.
So, Annie, Peter, take us back to where you all started this process out, Sing Out in Tamarack Farms so many moons ago before we get into the heart of what this Rise Up, what Rise Again songbook is. Take us back first.
Well, I'll let Peter do it, but, you know, it's hard to get him to do it in a nutshell. It was a really big process.
A large nutshell.
I want to say before he jumps in, you know, a lot of our mission is about bringing, you know, songs out there to people that are really, you know, supporting social justice. Mm-hmm. And also we were really informed and mentored by the great man Pete Seeger. So Peter, why don't you jump in and give a brief history.
Pete Seeger started a magazine back in 1950 called Sing Out Magazine.
Yes.
And the idea was very much to support music of the people rather than music of the big corporations, and to encourage people to sing with each other. So when in the mid-80s we came to Sing Out and said we have this vision of a kind of a group singing songbook, Pete and Toshi Seeger were on the board of Sing Out, and they immediately jumped in and said, this is what we've always seen our mission as an organization. And we thought that songbook would just be a kind of a little project, you know, maybe sell a couple hundred thousand books, and it actually ended up selling a million copies.
Everyone has it.
Everybody,
yeah,
I guess,
really.
Folk music at least has got it, and a lot of churches and camps and schools and stuff do as well. And as Annie said a minute ago, although it's used for many different purposes, for a lot of song circles and sing-alongs and even church choirs and stuff like that, a big part of our doing the book was to lift up issues of peace and racial justice and economic justice, and put that in people's hearts and minds and empower the kinds of people working side by side to kind of create a better world. And what Pete liked the best about this songbook was he said, usually a book only has one kind of music in it. Mm-hmm. And what Pete believed in is any kind of music that people shared in together was people's music, or was folk music. And so he loved the fact that the book had Broadway musicals and gospel and campfire songs and folk songs and, rock and roll songs, all in the same book. And we also like that people who like different kinds of music can get together and sing with each other.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sing Out, just for our listeners. I mean, because Sing Out no longer comes out, correct?
Well, I think Mike Moss may still be the editor-in-chief. I know maybe about 3 years ago, I wrote a cover story for Sing Out on Rosetta Tharpe. So I'm not sure if it comes out monthly but I believe... I know people still talk about it, so I have no definitive answer there. I just wanted to say I wrote a story for Sing Out. Okay.
Peter?
It's actually in the process of transitioning to becoming an online publication. It hasn't had a hard copy for maybe a year about, but we did see Mark recently at a festival, and he told us that, in fact, they were moving closer to finishing that transition.
That's where I always see market festivals.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing how, I mean, just for our listeners, this is a very storied publication. I have dozens of sing outs from the early 60s still piled up in the corner in my house. And I mean, it was the place where people who wanted, really deeply believed in social change and justice and radical change in this country, who did folk music and blues, gathered and told stories, and it came out every month, and it was just an amazing magazine back then. It still is. I'm glad to hear that it's not.
It still very much is.
Its demise is.
I'm not a child of the 60s. I was actually born in the 60s, but social justice
so you could be
and
my
freedom.
Child.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Well, you got to have a 50-year-old child.
I do have a 50-year-old child, just about.
There you go. But for us, for those of us who are committed to music as being that bridge over troubled waters of all the isms. I mean, music is very much to me, you know, we share, which is so wonderful. We share this wonderful belief that music is a change maker. You know, it's about inspiration. And last night at our community sing, as we were using Rise Again, everyone was so excited because it was like 1 minute we were singing, you know, an old spiritual. Thank you so much, Annie and Peter, for adding those, the new stuff. And then the next minute you're singing something from Pete Seeger, which is so profound. You know, it is something that transcends color. See, social justice transcends color, unlike they like to tell us on, you know, the mass media. Mm. But it's singing really transcends it, because when we're in a group singing together, we forget that we have these so-called differences. Yeah. Because the heart is moving, the soul is moving. We don't laugh in white, we don't cry in black, and we don't sing in any of these colors. Stylistically, we may sound a certain way, but I heard my girl Annie sings jazz. So
Annie, your music, you do cross the genres. I mean, I've heard you play folk, this Psy-Con piece, and sing it, and then you have your jazz group, Girls from Mars.
Yeah, yeah, 1940s I
swing.
Love everything.
Me
right.
too. That's how I
like
am.
Like Lee was saying, you know, right. when we talked recently, I hung up. I was like to Peter, I was like, oh man, she's my sister already, because we have so much in common with the cross genre interest. I've sung in a jazz trio called Girls from Mars for many years, and we have lots of wonderful guys that join us and back us up in that group, including Tom Mitchell, who's a local Baltimore musician, who's a great guitarist. But yeah, and then I always loved folk music. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us were raised in families where music was a sort of a part of the fabric, and some of us weren't, but then went to sort of seek it. And for me, it was always there, you know.
Yeah, it was like breathing for me, you know. Growing up in the black church, there was no separation between when we were singing and when we weren't. I mean, somebody would just start singing, and then everyone would join in. And then on Sunday morning, then everyone joins in. The choir is the congregation. And I think this upcoming concert is very much similar to that, in that it's going to be folks singing with us as well as we get the opportunity to sing at them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it really is just an exciting time, an exciting moment. And we're very lucky that this particular concert is coming here to Baltimore, because they've traveled across the country with this. So,
yeah, it's
well, we're
cool.
honored to do it.
Yeah, this is great you're coming in town here. So you're traveling across country doing this right now?
Yeah, Peter and I have been traveling around since the newer songbook, which is, you know, both of our songbooks, for your audience that isn't familiar, they have words and guitar chords to almost 1,200 songs in both songbooks, and each songbook
it works
has
for keyboard players too.
Songs.
By the way.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, the newer songbook, Rise Again, it just came out a little while ago. We've been traveling around pretty much all over the United States and Canada so far.
And the cool thing about the book is the songs you have in here, all these different genres, the cool thing about this is that the chords are done so there are C7, E7, you know,
okay,
A minor.
Mark talking like he knows. Okay, listen to this.
So you can you don't have to know how to read music in order to get on the guitar
Especially if you play an auto harp, it's perfect. Right.
Or guitar. Or guitar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Plus, on our website, people can go. They can actually hear a YouTube video by plugging in the name of the song on our website. Take you right to a YouTube
video. Oh, really?
So yeah, their website's amazing.
If you learn by listening, you know, we're not providing the notation unless it's a round. So for all of the rounds we put in the book, we provided the notation. But other than that, you really, you know, you learn it by listening and playing the guitar chords. And the whole idea is to be together with other folks, you know, and teach each other the song. So
take Aaliyah us. Might know one song and she could teach me, and I might know a different song I can teach her.
Exactly.
So we all have the words to sing together.
Exactly.
So take us, that's a little history here. Because everything you just said, we needed to describe Rise Up Singing in a little bit more detail for our listeners. So, and playing some music about it during the course of our conversation as well. But so you just said there's it's not just the book, it's on the web, and the songs are all also on the web. Talk about what you've done here. I mean, and this is like a long process. You started this in the 1970s, right?
Well, when I met Peter, he started it, so he can talk about that little piece.
So basically, the book did have a kind of a prequel back in the 70s called Winds of the People, actually. It was kind of a little bit of an underground fake book, you might say.
Right.
And it sold a lot of copies kind of out of people's houses. But then when we went to Sing Out, it became a fully legal book that could be sold anywhere. Pete Seeger's manager, Harold Leventhal, helped us to get those big companies to give us permission to put their songs in. And so that was 1,200 songs, and it came out in 1988 and kind of took off around the country. And at that point, YouTube didn't exist yet, so we couldn't get that as a resource. We had kind of CDs that allowed people, originally cassettes, then later CDs, to learn the melodies. But with the new book, now we, of course, have this wonderful, wonderful richness of music of people who are famous and people who are obscure, all putting their songs up there. So every song that's in Rise Again, we have links to the website to learn the melodies. Sometimes there's as much as 4 or 5 different versions in there by, you know, Willie Nelson maybe, and then some, you know, local folky who just did a great rendition side by side there on the website.
It's
but,
really great.
We're going to have Rise Up Singing up there as well, but Rise Up Singing should be up, the melodies maybe in the next 6 months.
Well, what we found was when we went around, so when Rise Up Singing came out, it was 1988, a long time ago, Peter and I packed the car and threw our 5-year-old in it, and we went around and did all these different things we called sing-along concerts. And the idea was we'd pass out the songbook, get people singing, get them interested in singing, and then during the break, we would find all these people who maybe lived around the corner from each other but didn't know each other, start talking to each other and say, hey, what if we got together once a month? We could sing out of this book together. What if we got together and we sang, we taught each other songs? And so out of that came a bit of a movement was already happening because, of course, we've been singing around, you know, campfires forever. And, you know, before,
not
like, before
me, girlfriend.
Books, right. You know? And honoring, you know, there's a lot of honoring of the tradition of singing in different cultures. In
that's
our
what's
book,
so
we like
great
to think
about
of it as
it.
A resource, mm-hmm. not necessarily telling people you have to do it this way. It's just, it's a resource.
It's so well done just because of that, because it gives you, like we were looking at the different things in it. I mean, I was looking at Cupid from like the Motown, and then we've got musicals, then you have You and I by Stevie Wonder, then lullabies and love songs, and what was really wild was like you have millennial songs. I was like, whoa. Then the YMCA is in there, and then all of those spirituals I learned as a little girl, you know, in the little Baptist church in the woods in North Carolina, those kind of things.
I know, who would think you'd put a Taylor Swift song in there and also have, you know, the storm is passing over. My
and how do you even
tune.
Know the storm is passing over? That's what's so incredible.
I know, you know. I mean, we really worked at talking to our friends of color, you know, people who
you
come
can
from
see
that
it.
Black gospel tradition. And we said, look, we want to represent it. This is so important to us and to honor. And, you know, when we teach a spiritual, you know, we want to be the best white allies we can and honor the tradition of these songs and the struggle, the history that goes behind.
That's exactly what we talked about last night. And that's what's so wonderful about your book, because it does honor this history, because it makes it equitable with everyone else's history. And that's what's so important. And when we go all over the world, it's amazing that like soccer fans are singing Swing Low Sweet Chariot as their rallying song. And I'm like, yeah. I bet you guys don't even know where that came from.
Yeah.
But they know a lot of these songs. And I was had the opportunity to sing with Pete Seeger. And that's when I found out about Sing Up, about Rise Up Singing. He said, well, do you know this book where all these songs are, Leah? You know, the ones we're singing? I said, no, I don't know this book. So he went and he got the book. And he gave me a book. I have the book for Pete Seeger. You know, that
this one.
Not that one. That's the new one, Rise Again song. But this is the blue one, you know, the blue Bible one.
Right.
And I think that's more, but I should have asked him to sign it, but you know, I felt that was corny. But
he would have done it.
He would have done it. He was great, you know. And he asked me, this is crazy. This still blows my mind. He was such an amazingly humble, incredible person. He said, if you teach me this song, I'll teach you this song. And I said, you want me to teach you a song? He said, yeah, I heard you sing it in the class that you were teaching. I said, okay. And then he taught me one that, you know, sounded so similar, but came from the Appalachian world, but showed our similarities, you know, how we have so much more in common than we think. And I thought, wow, all this is in this book. And now we're going to make it live.
I think it's incredible.
It's incredible.
So this the significance of the concert you're doing here in Baltimore, I think, is really important.
It's very important.
You are... where you're going to be, I don't know if the exact location you're singing is going to be where. I
it's 2640 Space.
Oh, it's there at the Space.
Right.
Oh, 2640 on
Space. On St. Paul Street.
St. Paul Street.
Not too far from where we are
right now. But where you're singing for is the Tubman House.
That's right. It's extremely important.
Which is an amazing place that former Black Panther, now producer Eddie Conway, and others took over this house. In the on the very spot where Freddie Gray was killed.
That's right.
Was arrested and then died in police custody. Okay. Right by the Freddie Gray mural.
That's right.
And so this house was taken over. The city tried to move them out, kept threatening to throw them out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
They took over the lot, and the house next to the lot is where they're growing food. And they have this house where people can come and gather. I don't think they've gotten electricity in the house yet. I'm not sure. But so this is a very significant moment. So you're singing to raise money for this particular I could say community, but it's revolutionary community-oriented place in the Tubman House. And so it's a really amazing thing you're doing by coming here to sing for that particular place.
It's very synergetic with what they've done with their lives.
Yes,
you know what I mean? And what the power of music does. Also involved in the Tubman House is the Friend of a Friend program from the Friends and the Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, which is an amazing organization here, you know, and a part of the whole Black Lives Matters movement and other empowering things for people of color and people who have been disenfranchised, not just persons of color, but any people who have been disenfranchised. And it's a project of the 1619 Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Which is much more vast than I'm saying. It's a lot of incredible folks, including our Be More Community Sings, which we do, and United Workers, Charm City Labor Corps, so much. And they will all be at this concert, and you know, singing for the Tubman House.
And this concert is going to be on November the 6th. So
whenever we do a concert, we want to uplift the people in the community who are doing these kind of things together. We did a concert in Atlanta where literally 20 different groups were co-sponsoring that, churches, social justice groups, and right before the intermission, all these people representing these different kinds of cultures, these different kind of religions, these different kind of struggles stood up and introduced themselves. We're bringing people together because we want the singing together to help give people a sense of connection to others in their community that believe also in the same kinds of things. Maybe doing it in a different way, we're still going in the same direction. So just as we can sing all kinds of different songs, as Pete would want us to do, likewise, we can celebrate all these different groups, because we don't want the spotlight to be on ourselves.
Right,
we want it to
right,
be on both
exactly.
the Tubman House and on all these other groups that
exactly.
are working for similar values.
And it's such a great opportunity for people who can to bring the checkbooks and support this important,
yes.
really important safe space. And then for those who maybe just need to be uplifted, you know, to now, come.
I think the fact you're doing that you're you know the folks like you, from the roots of this kind of folk song music right. revolution took place in the late 60s and early 70s, early 60s to the 70s. You just don't sing the song and talk the talk; you walk the walk.
Right.
And I think that's really kind of very really important and really kind of needs to be honored in a way. And I'm glad you're doing this around the country. And the fact that you have this legacy that's bound up in Pete Seeger, who we, this January, I can't believe it would actually be 3 years this January that we lost Pete
hard
Seeger.
To believe, yeah.
Right?
So hard to believe.
Right. Isn't it?
It really is.
I
just want you to know, I was taught this partly by African Americans in the South, because back in the, and when I was in college in the early 60s, mid-60s, I went down to Mississippi and helped to register African Americans that were denied the right to vote back then. And we stayed in a community there, a poor African American community. And every night we went to the community center and we sang freedom songs together.
Oh, yes.
Because they wanted to support us and we wanted to support them. So they taught me how powerful song can be
right.
to help keep
right,
you going,
yeah.
even if you're facing the terrible kind of things that I'm sure they were facing at the time in Mississippi.
I think it's unimaginable. I mean, I remember visiting Dr. King's church during the same time. And even though I did not grow up as a part of this, but this is definitely a part of my culture and the reason why I'm able to be here right now. But before any action, they would gather and sing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They would sing before any action, before they marched, before they went and sat in, before they did anything, we would sit around and sing these songs. And I think it's so amazing. I feel so honored because I've kind of dedicated my life to still singing these songs and singing them around the world. And I get to do this in Baltimore with the Rise Up Singing Folks. That's like something I would have made a life plan and put on a vision board or something, you know?
Man, listen, the honor's all ours.
Right.
It's such a pleasure to share all this. It really is.
Well, we're looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking forward to meeting you all. I've known about you before this, and it's really an honor to have you come into Baltimore. We're looking forward to this. This is a really important time. So this will be Sunday, November the 6th. We're promoting even more. It'll be on our website as well at the 2640 House at 2640 St. Paul Street.
Right.
7 o'clock in the evening at 2640 space, the Rise Up Singing Concert. And it's going to benefit the Tubman House, which
exactly.
is really important place in the middle of Sandtown. So it'll be a jam. And Leah Gimel will be there, obviously.
I'm going to be there singing my thing.
Annie
along
Peterson.
With Jeffrey Himes, who is a writer for the Baltimore Magazine. He's a music critic. He'll be playing, and Willem Elversier will be playing the
fiddle.
Exactly.
And they'll be joining Annie Patterson and Peter Blood, who put together this Rise Up Singing Songbook and have been doing this work now, Rise Again Songbook, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Annie and Peter, we look forward to meeting you, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Can we give you an address where people can find more information, a web address?
Right, please, I was about to ask, but go ahead and do it.
riseupandsing.org/events, and you'll see a list of events, and click on Baltimore, and that'll give you all the details about the concert. You can pre-order tickets if you want, or pre-order songbooks, or whatever you want. But riseupandsing.org/events. What's yours?
It is going up on my actual website, which is www.leahgilmore.com. It should be up by Friday in great detail with links to your website as well.
Everybody goes and sees all the amazing stuff Leah's done. Check out her website.
Amazing
Aren't you,
stuff.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
So Annie Patterson, Peter Blood, thank you so much. Rise Up Singing Songbook. We'll meet them all on November the 6th here in Baltimore.
That's
Leah
right.
Gilmore, good. Thank you for bringing all the stars to our studio today.
You.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And
thank
we'll
you.
All rise up singing together just
That's
shortly.
That's right. I'm going to walk out the door singing.
That's it.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You all.
Bye.
Bye. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. The podcast Mark Steiner Show, and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner.